This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hope 103.2 joined right now, and I'm a little bit excited by Dr. Andrew Thomas.
That's right. How are you today?
I am very good. And for people who don't know who you are a real-life astronaut?
Yes, I am. I was born and raised in Adelaide, but I subsequently moved to the United States and applied into the NASA program more years ago now than I care to mention and got chosen to become an astronaut.
It's just incredible because a lot of young kids, I mean, we're chatting you for Careers Week, of course, and many kids dream of being an astronaut when they grow up. What does it really take to get to go into space?
Well, you do have to have a dream for a start. You have to have a lot of passion and a lot of determination because it's not easy to get into the program. A lot of people try to apply and don't make it. So you've got to be very determined. You've got to have a really good educational background, and I was blessed to have a good educational background from the University of Adelaide and the Australian education system, specializing in mechanical engineering. And that, if you'll forgive the pun, helped launch my career.
So you had a bachelor's in engineering, and there's also a doctorate in there, but it only took you a year to get qualified to go to space when you were actually in the NASA program. That must have been a fairly intense year.
It was, but that was actually typical back then. You do what they call astronaut candidacy training, where you're not officially an astronaut, you're a candidate for an astronaut position, and you spend a year learning about all the spacecraft systems and how they work and how they operate, and go and spend time in simulators going through the processes of simulating a flight into space. And after a year, you get qualified for assignment as an astronaut on a space mission. But you still have more training ahead of you, because once you do get assigned to a space mission, you have to train for that particular mission. And that typically takes another year or even 2 years. So it's a very educationally intensive process. Some people liken it to drinking from a fire hose.
And then when you actually do get to go up into space, how do you describe space and that experience of opening your eyes into the stars for those of us who probably are not going to get the opportunity?
You know, it's very hard to describe. It is one of those moments that literally makes you gasp. That's the only way I could describe it. I remember on my first flight after we had launched and had just had this quite extraordinary ride to this incredible speed of and altitude in orbit, I unstrapped from the seat and floated up to one of the windows and looked out, and I could see the Earth below us, the curvature of the Earth, the blue oceans, and I could see the external tank we'd separated from tumbling below us, and the dark blackness of space, and it really was the most awe-inspiring sight. And it's just one of those sights that you always remember, and it just literally takes your breath away. It's something you can never have on Earth. You have to leave the planet to see it.
Now, I was pretty excited when I did my first round-the-world trip, but if I've read correctly, you've done around-the-world trips over 2,500 times.
That's right. On my long flight, when I was on the Mir space station, back in 1998, we orbited the Earth 16 times a day. So you get 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets every day. And I was up there for 140 days. And if you add that to my other flights on the shuttle, it's about 2,500 or more orbits of the Earth and some 75 million miles traveled.
Now, you were there 6 months, so I've got a question for you. How do you wash clothes when you're in space? Because surely water out and about is going to cause trouble on the Mir space station.
Yeah, it does. Water, if it's left free, causes all kinds of problems because it will get into equipment and float into all such strange places. We actually didn't wash clothes. We would wear our shorts and our T-shirts for 3 or 4 days until it became unpleasant, shall we say, and then we would use them for a few times for when we were exercising on the treadmill or the cyclogometer, and then we would toss them in the trash and get out a new pair and cycle on through, because washing clothes in space is actually a big problem. And so it's easier just to throw the clothes away.
I would imagine that liftoff moment would have been enough to give any normal human being a heart attack. I mean, what was that experience when they go, you know, 3, 2, 1, and then the rockets kick in?
It's the most wonderful experience you can possibly have. There is nothing you can do on or off the planet that quite matches launching into space on a rocket like the space shuttle. And I remember my first flight very well, as is most, you know, important milestones of life. You always remember your first time, and my first flight was a pivotal experience for me because it was the culmination of so many improbable dreams that had finally come to reality and had got me into that position there. And I was on the flight deck of the shuttle. I had a window behind me, which I could look out with a mirror, and I could look down into the flame trench and see the exhaust of the engine start and see that huge explosion as the solid rocket boosters burst to life and feel that thrust and that acceleration as we rocketed skyward. It was really just a wonderful experience. By the time I got to do it, though, I was really pleased to be able to do it because we had spent so much time training and preparing for it in very realistic simulators that it all actually seemed somewhat familiar. It gave me a sense like, well, I've been here before, even though I hadn't. And I've done this before, even though I hadn't. And so that made me very confident about the process. I didn't feel fear about the process. I felt more a sense of excitement about the ride that I was going to undertake, because I knew it was going to be the ride of my life. Without doubt, it would probably be the most extraordinary thing I've ever done in my life up until that time.
Yeah, and it's quite a surreal thing to be able to do. And even hearing you talk about it, it's hard to imagine what that would really be like. For you, when you opened your eyes and space was there, did it have an effect on your understanding of the universe or anything like that, you know, like your core beliefs?
For me, it was a personal adventure. You know, what are the chances for a kid from Adelaide to end up as a professional astronaut and flying in space? I had a dream that I wanted to bring to reality, and by all accounts, it was probably the most improbable dream anyone could possibly have, the most unrealistic and improbable dream. But I made it work. I brought it to reality. And for me, there was a great sense of personal satisfaction that I'd made this very unrealistic, improbable dream come true, and that I was going to have these amazing experiences. And that's the message I give young people. If you have a dream, for heaven's sakes, pursue it. Don't give up. Be tenacious, because you will unlock doors in that pursuit that you cannot even begin to imagine.
NASA, that is a space program. New Zealand has got a space program. But do you know where doesn't have a space program is Australia. We've got plenty of open space. We could shoot rockets off from the middle of Australia. I think it'd be a cool initiative. But do you think it's a worthwhile investment for Australia to get into a space agency?
Yes, I do. It's time Australia was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. You know, detractors of the idea say you don't need a space agency, there's no space program. But of course, there's no space program because there's no space agency. And I think it's time that Australia did have a space agency. Now, I'm not talking about launching people into space. I'm talking about access of satellite data and perhaps even building satellite systems for other countries and accessing the downlink signals and so on. There's a huge economy there that could employ thousands of high-tech jobs and be a real economic driver for Australian industry. And I think it's time that Australia embraced that view and stimulated its economy with this kind of high-tech entrepreneurial approach. Mm. It's time, I think, Australia got away from being so dependent on the economies of other countries and just selling raw materials at bargain basement prices to them. It needs to have economic machinery and economic drivers in-house that generate substantial revenues for future generations. And I think accessing some of the space economy would be a way of doing that.
Do you think space tourism is going to happen? Richard Branson taking us off on his Virgin Galactic space shuttles or aeroplanes?
Space tourism is going to happen. I think what Richard Branson is doing is arguably not really space flight. It's more very high altitude aeroplane ride. I actually don't think he's going to have a big impact on space tourism. The person that will is unquestionably people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. And you may not be aware of it, but just today Elon Musk has announced that SpaceX will launch two high-paying tourists on a circumlunar flight next year.
Wow.
Right around the moon, just next year. And that's you've got to admire his bravado to suggest that. It's a lot of engineering challenges have to be met before they can do it. But that is clearly the wave of the future. That's where space industry is going in the future. And I applaud it. I think it's a terrific opportunity, and I'll watch with great interest to see how it all unfolds.
Dr. Andrew Thomas, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.